I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Good morning, Taylor Nation. Good morning to those who are joining us via Facebook and YouTube Live. Good morning to those of us who have joined us in the sanctuary. I'll greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are streaming live from Philadelphia with a pastor, Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. So when I think about every day that the Lord blesses us with, when I think about his goodness, when I think about everything that's going around all around us, when it seems like everything is not in order. But if you study God's word, when you read it, to the Christian, this is not a surprise. Because the things that we see today, the things that are going on around us, these are the very things that God has proclaimed in his word. And you know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he needs to repent. So everything that he says, everything that he declares, the one thing we do know is that it will come to pass. In every detail, in every order that he proclaims it, it shall be done. In the body of Christ, we all know that. That's why we are called to be a light unto this world. See, the gospel is foolishness to those who do not know God. But it is our Christian duty. It is what we are called to do, is to be a light unto this world. Matthew says to let our light so shine that when men see our good works, he will not glorify us, but glorify our Father who is in heaven. Because we are to be the reflection of Jesus Christ himself in this dark age. Amen? Amen. And at this time, I will welcome our Deaconess Kamala Lyons, who will be the liturgist for this morning. Can we greet her with a hearty amen?
Hallelujah. Good morning, saints. Good morning. We're going to have everyone please stand, whether you're at home or in the sanctuary. I'm going to begin and open up with prayer. How does everyone feel this morning? I hope everyone's feeling good. Amen. Amen. It's so exciting and wonderful to be in the house. Bow your heads and pray with me. Father God in heaven, you are holy, you are holy, and we praise you this morning. Father, cover everyone that can hear the sound of my voice and every family that is represented today. Our lives can often feel rushed, God, and overwhelming with the constant needs that press for our attention. But God, I ask that you help us this morning. Help us today. Help us to focus more on you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, God. And God, we ask you to come in the house and just let us and bless us with your holy presence, God. And Father, we ask you to protect the shepherd of this house, our elder Jonathan E. Ford. May he find shelter in your word, and may he run and not be weary. And may he walk and not feel faint. Bless him, God. Bless him abundantly with your love and grace. And Lord, we ask you to bless the carrier of your word today. as she leads us in worship. Anoint our deaconess Lillian, Lord. Anoint her words that we would hear your voice, and let your words penetrate our souls. Let it be a word of wisdom and clarity. We ask that your Holy Spirit be at work this morning and open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word, God. May we be transformed in your likeness. We declare that you are God, and we earnestly seek you this morning, Lord. For you are good, and your love endures forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. This morning we're going to open up with our scripture, and we're going to be reading the word of God from the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but upon the cloth the mortality might be swallowed up life. Now that he hath wrought us for the selfsame, this is God, who oft hath given us unto the earnest spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whistles are thee at home in the body, and we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen, amen. We are now going to welcome the woman of God, our sister and our deaconess, and our beautiful Lillian Davis Jones. Everybody say, God bless Sister Lillian. God bless the woman of God. God bless. Here she comes. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Let's give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thanking God for yet another Sunday morning worship service. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I will be reading from the New King James Version, a familiar passage we all know, St. Luke 15, 11 to 24. Luke 15, 11 to 24. Amen. Amen. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had came to himself, he said, now, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat and celebrate. For this, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time of worship, Lord. Thank you for everyone that is gathered here and online. We thank you for your presence, and we welcome you into this place. We are so not worthy of your saving grace. For this we say, thank you, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, take full control of this service, and let him speak through me to meet the needs of your people. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I will be speaking from the subject, A Father Who Covers with His Amazing Grace. In the Webster's Dictionary, I have found the spiritual and biblical meaning of grace. Amen. One, our favorite, God's unmerited favor. Two, grace manifested in the salvations of sinners. Three, grace is free, a totally unexpected and undeserved gift from God to us. Four, undeserved forgiveness for our sins. Five, divine favor. And grace is receiving something from someone and passing it on until the environment around you begins to change. We testify about grace, always thanking God for his grace and mercy. Amen. We thank the credit collector for that special favor who gives us an extended grace period. We enjoy watching the movement of an effortless, graceful dancer we call Noah. We learned as young children to say a short prayer before we eat. God is grace. God is good. And we thank him for our food. Amen. All these examples define different types of grace. As children of God, do we really understand or have we yet grasped God's amazing grace for us? This unmerited favor and undeserved favor that we get to experience, it cost him everything so that we could have eternal life. Grace is a gift. It's free. There is no price. We need to pay for it. God is our loving Father who waits to give it to us. This gift of salvation, just ask for it and you will receive it. Grace is power. 2 Corinthians 12:12-9 says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we rely on God and not our own strength, amen, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Grace is forgiveness. Only God can cleanse us from our sins, and only God can make us pure again. Grace is unconditional love. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. Jesus took the punishment for our sins. Amen. In my study, I read somewhere that grace is one of the most used and probably least understood words in our Christian faith. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely. The peace of God given to the restless. It's help for the helpless. It's hope for the hopeless. It's healing for the wounded and balm for the broken. We fail so many times, but glory be to God. He is always there willing to forgive us. Amen. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of his glory. Amen. When we sin and we sincerely ask God for forgiveness, his grace is available to us, but it doesn't give us a free sin card. Hallelujah. To do what we want. God's grace is for everyone. We all have free will to choose. We all have a free will to choose him. Amen. And this may sound harsh, but we can go to heaven or we can not choose him and go to hell. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, but it is not unconditional. I'm going to repeat that again because that's important. Grace is unmerited, but it is not unconditional. You must repent and humbly accept Jesus Christ for your sins. Amen. Paul tells us in Titus 2:11-12 that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly passions, and we should live self-controlled, righteous, and godly. Thank God for his grace. It's a gift that is not deserved or earned. Amen. Amen. The parables of Luke 15 all have something in common. A quick recap. The lost sheep. The shepherd had 100 sheep. When one of the sheep was lost, he left the 99 to search. After finding and bringing his sheep home, he rejoiced with his friends and neighbors. Amen. God's people are referred to as sheep, as the sheep of God's flock. Pastors are our shepherds, and Jesus Christ is our chief shepherd. The point of this parable is that God desires to bring home those who are lost. That's sinners. That's you and I. Back into a relationship with him. And he rejoices when we repent. The second parable, the lost coin. The woman lost one of her 10 silver coins. She lights a lamp and sweeps her house carefully. You can find a whole lot of stuff when you clean your house, right? And when she finds that coin, she rejoices with her friends and neighbors. Amen. The parable of the lost son. He was lost, and when he was found, there was a big celebration and a feast. Amen. All three parables talked about something being lost. Thank God for grace. Thank God for his grace, because when he looks down on us, all he sees is grace. Amen. Let's turn our attention to the prodigal son and his father. Hallelujah. Verse 11-12 says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. A certain man, meaning God, is concerned about the loss. The sheep and coin were looked for until they were found. You see, they could not make choices for themselves. They were not responsible either for this situation. Whereas the son, he made a choice to leave his father's home, which makes him responsible for that situation. Amen. The father went against the Jewish law to give out portions of his estate while he was still alive. An inheritance was to be passed along at death. The son was basically saying to his father, I wish you were dead. You are dead to me. Can you imagine the pain the father felt honoring his son's request? The pain of how the people seen him as foolish in the village. The father was also dealing with the resentment of his older son against the younger son. We may not have experienced a pig's pen life or fallen into gross sin, but we all have turned our backs on God. We all have turned our backs on the Father. Amen. Thank him for grace and mercy, for not giving us what we deserved. Amen. Too many of us are like the older brother, unforgiving and judgmental. He was lost too. Amen. That's another sermon for another time. I would probably call it the two lost sons. Amen. Glory be to God. In verse 13 and 14, it reads, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. The word spent, dapeno, is a Greek word meaning wasted. The son spent and wasted all that he had. He had many friends who helped him squander his fortune. And when it was all gone, where were the friends? But the Father, our Father in heaven, his resources, they never run out. Amen. Amen. Verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Feeding the swine, was a degrading job. Jesus used this illustration to show people how low sin will take you. A misery and sinful life will lead you to this point. Feeding the swine was unacceptable and offensive. Swine was unclean and forbidden to touch under the Levitical law in the Jewish culture. Amen. In verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. He was longing for. He wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. As a servant, if you would have taken swine, the food that the swine was eating, they would have killed him. Amen. Where were his friends? Where were his friends? The ones that spent up all his money and hung out with him. Hallelujah. You know how it is when you out there in the world and you partying and having a good old time. Hallelujah. And all the fun, you know, just having a good time. And then when you get down and out, start feeling bad about the lifestyle that you're living. Where was his friends? It's you and God then. It's you and God. Hallelujah. So he did not eat, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17. But when he had came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? In his rebellion and disobedience, he wasn't himself. Kind of reminds me of my Isabella. When she tells me she had a rough day in school. And she tells me, I was telling myself that I'm going to be good and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, but something overcomes me. And she doesn't know what happened.
That's what she tells me. I don't know what happened.
But he came to himself. He came to himself. His sins made him realize that the end was near. He was far away from home. He spent all his money, no friends, degrading job, and thought that death would be better. And that played over and over in his head. But he came to himself. In chapter 15, the third parable, no one came searching for him like the lost coin and the sheep. God desires for us to repent of our sins and return back to him. Amen. Amen. I read a passage in the Matthew Henry commentary, and listen closely. It reads, to look unto God as the Father and our Father will be of great use in our repentance and return to him. The repentant sinner quits the bondage of Satan and his lust and returns to God by prayer as the Lord meets him with unexpected tokens of his forgiving love. His grace is enough for everybody. His grace is enough for anybody that will come to him in faith, believing. Amen. It was enough for the woman at the well. It was enough for Saul, the Christian killer. It was enough for my boy Peter, the cussing and cutting fisherman. It was enough for the woman caught in adultery. It was enough for the poor, the rich, the famous. It's enough for the wicked, hateful, unforgiving, and that person on death row. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast you out. It was enough for me, and it's enough for you. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. In verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He said, I have sinned. He came back home. Hallelujah. Happy just to be a servant. The son didn't try to justify his sin, making excuses or expecting mercy from his father as if nothing happened. He was deeply sorry for his wrongdoing toward his father. His repentance was revealed in his words. He came home confessing. Amen. The son left telling his father to give me, give me. He returned back to his father to make me. The father represents the grace of God to a truly repentant sinner. The father never mentioned to him, the father never mentioned him leaving or wasting a third of his estate. He lost a lot of land. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 and 25 says, the sins of your soul shall not be remembered. Amen. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. I gather that sins acquired under the old law have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness along with the old law. And that's what Micah That was in Micah 7 and 19. Amen. Verse 19. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I am no more worthy. He came home humbled. He felt unworthy to be called son. As I said earlier, he said, Father, give me. Remember when he left? He left as though his father was dead. He knew how servants were treated when they returned back after leaving their master. But knowing this treatment, the son still went home. He said, Father, make me a servant. Because he felt it would be better there home as a servant than it was where he was. Amen. In verses 20 to 21. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell to his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. In my closing, the father forgives his son. The son was happy to be a slave, but the father's love covers a multitude of sins. The father shows us what forgiveness looks like. The father calls us to show compassion for one another and to those who are shunned, shamed, and dismissed. Amen. The father shows us that when your faith is in Jesus Christ, your natural man will transform your judgments and vengeance of people to show them some grace. The father embraced and kissed the son despite his filthy condition, just as God accepts us. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, all of us have become like the one who is unclean. All our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. We are all shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Paul explained that we cannot do anything to save ourselves, but our salvation comes only as a result of God's grace. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he covered me. Look to your right and say, he covered me. Point at yourself and say, he covered me. Amen. There's a song called You Covered Me by Dr. R.A. Vernon and his praise team. And I'm going to rephrase the lyrics a little. It says, I don't care who thinks I'm right or wrong. I don't care who tries to calm me down. I just want to praise you now. You covered me in the midst of it all. You loved me. You gave me another chance. You saw my needs when others would see my faults. You forgave me. You loved me. You saved me. You rescued me. And all I just want to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In verse 22. In verse 22, this was the verse for me. Hallelujah. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and I will put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Verse 22. The father said, put it on him. These four words, put it on him. The son was dirty, smelly, no sandals on his feet. But the father said, put it on him. The robe covered his sins. I said, the robe covered his sins. His sins was covered by the blood. Hallelujah. The robe covered the stench of the pig's den. The son was standing there, stained and ragged. But the robe.
The robe. I'm going to be like my pastor this morning. The robe.
The robe.
Covered his sin. The robe covered his sin. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. The Father prepared a feast. The robe covered his sins. Amen. 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 This was a time to rejoice. The lost son was returning back to having a relationship with his Father. The Father who covered him with amazing grace is the same Father who covers us and reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6:11 in the Living Bible, there was a time when some of you were just like that. But now your sins are washed away and you are set apart for God, and he has accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God have done for you. Give God some praise. Amen. Give God some praise. I said a feast and a time to rejoice. Did y'all get that? We talked about that last month. By the grace of God, I am saved by grace. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches of his grace. By the grace of God, I am secured by grace. Romans 3 and 25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, I am strengthened by his grace. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace is enough. Grace is enough. Trust it, lean on it, and rest in it. Amen. Our Father God is always ready to forgive us when we come to him in humble repentance. No matter how far we have strayed from him, we have eternal salvation, not because we deserve it, but because of God's grace. Hallelujah. Don't allow the devil to hold you hostage to the pig's pen. This morning, don't allow him to hold you hostage. Come to the Father. He has amazing grace for you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for your sins. Your troubles may have you pent down. And you may feel like you're way too down to get up. Repent and come back home. God's grace will lift you out of whatever your circumstances may be. His grace will always be enough to see you through, because he will never leave you or forsake you. We've all messed up. No one has a right to decide if God's grace is powerful enough to change your life. Apart from God, we, the saved folks and the church people, apart from him, we can do nothing. God accepts you just as you are. Accept God's amazing grace today and repeat this prayer. If you would like to receive Christ today, repeat. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe in his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me for my sins today. Amen. If you accepted this call to salvation today, please visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com and go to our contact list page and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian, and leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps in your Christian journey. If you have a prayer request, again, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and find our prayer request page or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a message, and someone from our staff will contact you. Amen.
Amen, amen. His grace is enough. Hallelujah. Thank you for that word, Sister Lillian. It was a great, great word, and a word that definitely touched my heart. His grace is enough. Hallelujah. Good morning again, Taylor Tabernacle and friends. It's offering time. And at this time, we would gather and worship through giving. This morning, you may give one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box, Philadelphia, PA, 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One of your tithes and offerings, and one for the speaker of the hour. Please, please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Amen. And now we will have our announcements. When you decide to join us in person, worship, please take your before leaving home and bring in a mask to wear. If you or someone else in your family is in contact with anyone that has COVID, please, we encourage you to stay at home. Additionally, the church band service is suspended until further notice. Please keep this in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. The media ministry is seeking volunteers. Audio, video, live streaming, and social media. Please email your interest to info@taylortabernacle.com and ask our very own Reverend John Curitan about the upcoming training sessions. Zoom calls with the pastor will continue for the month of October. Pastor Ford would like for you to join him for a Zoom call from 7:30 to 8 p.m. on your designated Friday in this month. This week is our seniors. And for our seniors, it's for the age of 66 and over. This will be done on the Via Church Conference line, 775-779-9141. And that's on Friday, October 29th at 7:30 p.m. Today, we have our Wildly Lean On Me series, Building a Relationship with God. All Wildly and anyone that's youth that would like to join, please join our brother Khalil and our sister Christina at 11:30 on the third floor. Information regarding this to join via Zoom should be on the website. Again, that's 11:30 today. Also, we're going to discuss our October 31st. And we're going to call up our First Lady, our Lady Jemai Samuels Ford. Amen. She will be coming up and discussing our fall festival.
Thank you, Deaconess Lyons. Good morning. I will be quick. I know we've been announcing this for the past few Sundays, but this upcoming Sunday, October 31st, is our annual Harvest Festival. This year it's sponsored by Turning the Tide, and we want everyone to come out. Please tell your friends. It's for the community. We are going to have a free outdoor event for the entire family, and we will have food, arts and crafts, treats, contests, giveaways, and PPEs, because we're encouraging community members to get vaccinated. Amen? So come out. It will be fun. It will be from 1 to 3, and it will be totally outside. So you're welcome, your friends are welcome, the congregation is welcome, and we really want everyone's support. Thank you.
Amen. You know, I thank God for his word, and I thank God for everything that he has done and is doing in my life. I thank God for my church, for my pastor, my first family, for all of you guys. I was sitting there, and I was just thinking about planning. As I get older, I'm finding myself, I like to plant. I like gardening and I like planting. But I also find myself, when I go to Lowe's or any home store with planting, you know, gardening, I always go to the rack, and I call it the soon to die rack. Something like that, because most of the plants are they're half dead, and they're in bad condition. But I also get some really good plants, like expensive plants, for really cheap, like 50% to 90% off sometimes. And I bring these plants home and I nurture them. I prune them a little bit, cut off all the dead leaves. I hydrate them. I give them some water. Sometimes I give them names. I love them. I just love planting. And most people be like, well, why do you go to that rack? It's because I think it's bringing them back to life. Is what I love. I get joy when I see this plant budding, or the green, you know, the brown stems turning green again. And it kind of reminds me of us as Christians. You know, when we come in contact with folks that we don't know, that don't look like us or act like us, God wants us to show love, to love them in the condition and the state that they are in. That is our purpose, not to look at them, but look at their hearts. See past what we see. So That's what I just wanted to say to you guys. You know, that we need to show more grace to people that we come in contact with. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect but God. So just show some grace. Give people grace and show yourself some grace sometimes. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to hold you much longer. But I was just jotting down a couple things over there. And, you know, God wants us to treat everybody with compassion and show them some grace. Amen. Amen. All minds clear. And to your feet. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for peace, Lord, that passes all understandings. Be with us as we go through this week, O God. Watch over us and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.